stand before you this morning and bring you God's word. I'd like to thank my pastor, Pastor Jason, for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you. God would like to speak to us this morning from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 7. We are going to look at verses 23 to 28.
Saying as Christians, we do sometimes pass through difficult times, times when we are discouraged, fearful, and anxious, times when we make little gains in holiness. And in such moments, one of the doctrines that can encourage us and comfort us is the doctrine of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And this was the case with the Jewish Christians of the first century. They were passing through difficult times. They were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrews writes to encourage them. And one of the doctrines that he uses to encourage them is the doctrine of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Little wonder when you read at the end of the book, the author of Hebrews says, "I've written this epistle to encourage you." Now, children, when we say that Jesus Christ is our priest, we do not mean, as our friends in the Roman Catholic Church mean, that Christ is as they say, their priest as a pastor. When we say that Jesus Christ is our priest, we mean that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And we mean that our salvation and all the benefits of our salvation do come to us only through Jesus Christ. Therefore, with the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like us to reflect on this passage that we've read this morning under the title, The Greater High Priest. The Greater High Priest. And we are going to look at 3 points. First, the permanence of his office. Secondly, the power of his intercession. And thirdly, the perfection of his sacrifice. The permanence of his office, the power of his intercession, and the perfection of his sacrifice. First, the permanence of his office. Look at verses 23 and 24 as well as verse 28. The author of Hebrews writes, "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever in the office." And again in verse 28 he says, "For the law appoints many their witnesses as high priests, but the word of the oath which came later than the law appoints a son who has been made perfect forever." Here the author of Hebrews shows us, as he's discussing the priesthood of Jesus Christ, he shows us that Jesus Christ holds on to this office permanently. And he does that by pointing out two important things about Jesus Christ as our permanent high priest. The first thing that he does is to compare them with the priests of the Old Testament. And he says, unlike Old Testament priests, Christ is not affected by death. He writes in verse 23, "For the former priests, the priests of the Old Testament, were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus Christ, holds his priesthood permanently." Christ holds on to this office permanently because he is not affected by death. He looks back in the Old Testament and see the priests. The priests would come and go because they could not continue because of death. But Jesus Christ is not affected by death. And friends, this is a comfort and this is encouragement to us, because what it means is that Christ will always be there for us as our high priest. And also what it means is that Christ is the same high priest yesterday, today, and forever. The same righteous Christ, the same merciful Christ, the same kind Christ who walked here on earth is the same Christ who is our priest at the right hand of God the Father. And because of that, we know that we can cry out to him and pray to him. He will remain the same. Death cannot take him away from his office as a priest. He continues forever, permanently, as our high priest. And again, this is comforting, because when you look in the Old Testament, you find that some of the priests were good and some of them were not. And when the people had a good high priest, they were happy, but also they were anxious, because they are not so sure who the next priest will be, whether he will be as kind and as good as the priest that they had. But for us, we are comforted because we know that the same righteous, the same kind, the same gracious, the same just Jesus Christ continues to be our high priest forever. The high priest who walked here on earth and the leper came to him and said, "If you will, you can make me clean," is the same high priest that you and I can cry out to, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." The high priest who walked here on earth and the disciples cried out to him, "Lord, increase our faith. Our faith is small," is the same high priest that you and I can cry out to this morning, "Lord, increase my faith. My faith is small." The same high priest who came to the trembling woman and said, "Do not fear, your faith has made you well," is the same high priest who comes to us in our difficulties, in our fears, and he says, "Do not fear, for I'll never, ever forsake you." This is possible because Christ holds on to this office permanently. He's a priest forever. But I know you might say, "Well, wait a minute, Christ died, just like the priests of the Old Testament." Yes, for sure, Jesus Christ died, but his death was different from the death of the priests of the Old Testament. Because Christ, even in his own death, he was serving as a high priest. Even in his own death, he was offering himself as a perfect sacrifice before God. And one commentator puts it very well. He says, "The death of Christ was a vastly different thing from the death of a Levitical priest. For his death did not prevent him abiding as priest as theirs did. He died as a priest, they died from being priests. He died in his office, they died out of office. Their personal death was not part of their work, whereas to die was the chief priestly duty of the Lord Jesus Christ." Even in death, Christ was serving as a priest. Even in death, Christ was offering himself as a perfect sacrifice. This is why the author of Hebrews comforts these people and say, you have a greater high priest. And then he goes on to show that Jesus Christ holds on to his office permanently because Christ, secondly, is not affected by weaknesses. He writes that in verse 28, he says, for the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Again, he contrasts Christ with the priests of the Old Testament, and he says that the priests of the Old Testament were affected by weaknesses. They had weaknesses, but Christ is not affected by weaknesses. The second thing, as the author of Hebrews is discussing that Christ holds on to his office permanently, the second thing he shows us is that Christ is not affected by weaknesses, as we see in verse 28, that as he's writing to say the priests of the Old Testament were affected by weaknesses, but Jesus Christ has no any weakness. Now, what does the author of Hebrews mean when he says that the priests of the Old Testament, the men of the Old Testament, had weaknesses? Well, John Owen points out that there are two types of weaknesses here that the author of Hebrews is writing. First was a moral weakness. The priests of the Old Testament had moral weakness in the sense that they were not sinless. They were sinners just like you and me. This is why the priests of the Old Testament, when they were offering sacrifice, first they would offer their own sacrifice, a sacrifice for their own sins. And then they would go on to offer a sacrifice for the people. But unlike the priests of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ does not need to offer a sacrifice for his own sins because Jesus Christ is sinless. But also, secondly, John Owen goes on to say that the weakness here represents physical weaknesses, that the priests of the Old Testament were subject to the curse of the fall, and as they advanced in age, they would grow weaker and weaker and weaker, and eventually they would die. Jesus Christ is not affected by weaknesses. Even in his own body, he has a glorified body as he stands at the right hand of God the Father. Even right now, he has a glorified body that never grows old, that is not affected by weaknesses of any kind. And this is why Christ serves as a priest forever. There is nothing that will stop him, no sickness, no death that will stop him from serving as a priest, because he's a man without any weakness. Yet by saying that, we are not saying that Christ is half human right now. Christ is fully man and fully God. Even right now, as he stands at the right hand of God, he's fully man, fully God, but yet without any weakness. And the amazing thing about our high priest is that even though he has no weakness, he understands the weaknesses of his people. That even though he has no any weakness, he comes down to our level as weak as we are and help us in our weaknesses. This is why the author of Hebrews writes again in Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, say, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, what an amazing high priest. A priest without any weakness, but he's able to sympathize with his people who have weaknesses. And this is why, friends, we say we have a greater high priest. But that's not only that. Jesus Christ is a greater priest, not only because he holds on to his office permanently, but also because his intercession is powerful. The power of his intercession. And we see that in verse 25, where we read, "Consequently, he, Jesus Christ, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Here, the author of Hebrews is showing us the power of the intercession of Jesus Christ. And again, he highlights two things about the intercession of Jesus Christ. The first thing that he tells us is that the intercession of Jesus Christ is unfailing. His intercession does not fail. He says he is able to serve to the uttermost. Jesus Christ does not fail in his intercession. Also, secondly, he shows us that the intercession of Jesus Christ is unceasing. He always lives to make intercession for his people. Unceasing intercession. But before we can look at these two things, we need to answer that question: what is the intercession of Jesus Christ? How can we describe the intercession of Jesus Christ? I believe John Calvin best describes the intercession of Jesus Christ when he says, "We are not to measure this intercession by our carnal judgment, for we must not think of him as humbly supplicating the Father on bended knee and with outstretched hands. Christ, however, is justly said to intercede for us because he appears continually before the Father." And really what Calvin is saying is that we are not to think of the intercession as Jesus Christ kneeling and pleading with the Father, but rather the intercession of Jesus Christ is him standing at the right hand of God the Father. As he stands there, that's his intercession for all his people. And I believe one preacher puts it very well. He says, "Christ risen, sin atoning, sin vanquishing, certain conquering presence at his Father's right hand contains every conceivable blessing that his people could ever ask for or ever need." In other words, our Savior's nail-pierced hands and feet are our intercession. As the Father beholds the atoning glory of his Son, he sees a life that has won everything good for his people. As God the Father looks at his own Son, he sees him in his glorified body. That's his intercession for his people. And as he looks at the Son, he sees all the answers to the prayers of the Son are yes and amen in him. The Father can never say no to the intercession of his Son. And as the Father looks at his Son, he sees his glory. He sees him who has died and conquered death and now lives. And he says, "Yes, my Son, in you I'll give your people everything they need." This is why Jesus Christ is a greater high priest. Unlike the priests of the Old Testament, his intercession does not fail. And friends, again, this is comforting to us because we know that everything that Christ prays for you and me, God will grant it, because the Son always prays according to the will of his Father. And here, as I've already said, the author of Hebrews says he is able to serve to the uttermost. You know, Jesus Christ does not attempt to save his people. Jesus Christ does not try to save his people. Christ is able to serve them to the uttermost. And what a wonderful word this word is. He is able. Christ is able. He does not attempt. He does not try. Just saves his people to the uttermost. You know, some time ago, we had a problem with our kitchen sink in our apartment. So my wife asked me if I could fix it. So I looked at the sink, went down under it to see, tried to touch this and that. It could not work. And then I had to confess to my wife that I was not as good as she thought I was. So we said, let's just call a plumber to come and fix this. So the plumber came, fully equipped with his equipment. He came to the sink and worked on it. After some time, it was working. You know, I could not fix that sink because I was not fully equipped for that work. But here the plumber comes with his equipment fully for the work, and he knows his work. He was able to fix that. And that's what Christ is. Christ is fully equipped to save his people to the uttermost. He does not attempt to save his people. He is able to save them to the uttermost. And the good example of this, you see the life of Apostle Peter. You know, just before Christ was crucified, Christ warned Peter, and he told Peter, say, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And Peter said, no, I will not deny you. Even if it means to die, I'm willing to die with you. But we know how the story ended. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And when his eyes met the eyes of his Lord, he was convicted. He remembered the words of his master. He went out to cry and weep, probably confessing his sin, repenting. And when Christ rose from the dead, he restored Peter by the Sea of Tiberias and commanded him, go and feed my sheep. And some weeks after that, we find Apostle Peter standing in Jerusalem preaching Christ. And he's arrested and put in jail for preaching Christ. And the judges command him, say, do not preach in the name of Christ anymore. And he says, you judge what is the right thing to do, whether to obey you or to obey God, but we are going to preach Christ. What happened to Peter? The same coward. He was timid at one moment. And then we find him here in Acts, so bored, like a lion. You know why? Christ had prayed for him that his faith should not fail. This is why Peter could stand in Jerusalem a week after that and proclaim the same name that he denied some weeks ago. The prayer of Jesus Christ did not fail. Peter was strengthened. And he turned back to strengthen his brothers. That's our high priest. And my friend, may you be encouraged as well in your situation. No matter what it is, whether your marriage is shaky, whether you have health challenges, whether you're fearful of the future, remember you have a high priest standing at the right hand of God, interceding for you, and his prayer cannot fail. This is why Apostle Paul, when he's discussing the intercession of Jesus Christ in Romans 8, he says, after he has discussed the intercession of Jesus Christ, he then asks, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he says, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, because his intercession never fails. And even if it means that things are not going on well for us, we need to remember that the intercession of Jesus Christ does not fail. Just because things are not going on well, it does not mean that Christ has failed. You ask Stephen in Acts chapter number 7, as they are stoning him, one stone after another, here is Stephen, faithful, a man full of wisdom and full of the Spirit, proclaiming Christ. But they are stoning him to death because of proclaiming Christ. And the Lord opens his eyes and sees Jesus Christ at the right hand interceding for him. Even as one stone is coming after another, Christ is interceding for him. Friends, even in our difficult times, Christ is interceding for us. And it does not mean that his prayers are failed, because his prayers can never fail. He is able to save to the uttermost. And the second thing that the author of Hebrews is telling us here about the intercession of Jesus Christ is that his prayers, his intercession is unceasing, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ continually intercedes for his people. people. Now, children, in Exodus chapter number 17, we read a story of Moses and the high priest Aaron and another man called Hur. The Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites, and then Moses and Aaron and this man went on a mountain to pray for the Israelites. And as they were fighting, the Bible tells us that when Moses and these other men lifted their hands in prayer, the Israelites were prevailing. But then their hands grew weary and they lowered them. And as their hands were coming down, the Israelites started losing. And then it had to take these men to help Moses to lift his hands and to pray for the Israelites. But friends, we have a high priest whose hands do not grow weary in prayer. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. And friends, this is the truth. We need to know this. Our pastors and our elders, they love us as a congregation, but their hands will grow weary in prayer. Children, your parents, they love you, but their hands will grow weary in prayer. Husbands, your wives love you, but their hands will grow weary in prayer. Wives, your husbands love you for sure, but their hands will grow weary in prayer. But there is only one high priest whose hands do not grow weary in prayer, and that is Jesus Christ. He ever lives to make intercession for us. His hands never grow weary in prayer. This is why the hymn writer wrote, "Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us." And lastly here, as the author of Hebrews shows us the greatness of Jesus Christ as our high priest, he does not only show us the permanence of his office and the power of his intercession, but also lastly, the perfection of his sacrifice. The perfection of his sacrifice. And we see that in verses 26 and 27, he says, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, and stained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself." Again, here, as he's showing us here the perfection of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the author of Hebrews points out two things as well about this sacrifice that Christ as a priest offered. The first thing that he shows us is that it was a sinless sacrifice. It was a sinless sacrifice. You look at the words that he uses to describe Christ: holy, innocent, and stained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. For sure, in the Old Testament, when God had commanded the people to offer sacrifices, he had commanded them to offer sacrifices without blemish. So by human standards, they were perfect sacrifices. But really, they were not. This is why later the author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter number 10 that the blood and bulls of God could not take away the sin of the people, because those animals were subjected to the curse of the fall. They could not take away the sin of the people. But here comes the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, sinless. That's why he's able to take away the sin of the people. This is why John the Baptist in John chapter number 1 verse 29 proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Because it is a sinless sacrifice that Christ offered on the cross. Now the question is, my friend, have you looked to this sacrifice? Has this sacrifice taken away your sin? And the second thing that we see here, as the author of Hebrews is discussing the perfection of the sacrifice of Christ, is that it is a sufficient sacrifice. A sufficient sacrifice. And he says in verse 27, he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself as a sacrifice. It was a once-for-all sacrifice, a sufficient sacrifice. When Christ said, "It is finished," on the cross, it was finished. No more need for sacrifice. And there shall never be a sacrifice again that will be offered to take away the sin of the world. Only Christ, once for all, a perfect sacrifice offered for his people. And again, we need to ask ourselves, especially you, my friend, who is not in Christ this morning? Why are you trying to offer imperfect sacrifices? You know, when you try to be good so that God can accept you, that's an imperfect sacrifice. When you think that God can receive you because of what you do, that's an imperfect sacrifice. It is not sufficient. There is only one sufficient sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Once for all, for the sins of all his people. And what it means is that you and me, we need to stop right now offering imperfect sacrifices and lift our eyes of faith to the perfect sacrifice and say, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Thou must save, and thou alone. Because there is no another sacrifice. Once for all, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ." And may I plead with you this morning, if you have not believed in Christ, look to him, cry to him. He is able to save his people to the utmost. And for you, my friend, who is in Christ, may you be encouraged. Because as that hymn writer wrote, the English hymn writer wrote, "Though raised to the superior throne, with matchless honors crowned, the names of all his saints he bears, engraved on his heart, nor shall a name once treasured there ever from his care depart." Christ is our greater high priest. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all that you have accomplished in him for us. And may this doctrine comfort us as we pilgrim in this world. And may we continually lift our eyes of faith to him and him alone. For your own glory, in Jesus' name, amen.